Okay, today we start our reading of Deuteronomy. So, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And if you would stand, if you're able to. And it is a longer one, so if you need to sit down during it, not a problem. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Topol, and Laban and Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb to by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it came about in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give to them, after he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Hezbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei. Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey, and go to the hill country of the Amorites and all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev, and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, and Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear the burden of you alone. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you, just as he has promised you. Now, how can I alone bear the load and the burden of you and your strife? Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me and said, The thing which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds, of fifties and of tens, and officers for your tribes. Then I charged your judges at that time, saying, Hear the cases between your fellow countrymen, and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countrymen, or the alien who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, You have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you approached me and said, Let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us, and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up, and the cities which we shall enter. And the thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country, and came to the valley of Eshcol, and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought us back a report and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying that the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, Do not be shocked, nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this you did not trust the Lord your God, who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. Then the Lord heard the sound of your words, and he was angry and took an oath, saying, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. The Lord was angry with me also on your account, saying, not even you shall enter there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn around and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will indeed go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every man of you girded on his weapons of war and regarded it as easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you rebelled against the command of the Lord and acted presumptuously and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and crushed you from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, the days that you spent there. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 1:13. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you a thousandfold more than you are, and bless you, just as he has promised you. We have now started our reading of the book of Deuteronomy. It is the last book of the Pentateuch and contains many instructions and blessings and consequences for the chosen people of God in their relationship with the Lord God Jehovah. As an initial introduction to this marvelous book of the Bible, and actually, they are all marvelous in the light of the nature and the character of God that is manifestly revealed in each of them. But particularly concentrating on this book of Deuteronomy, I would like to read an intensive introductory quote. We will then look at the blessing that is detailed in our morning's passage. Dr. Earl S. Callan, in his introduction concerning the book of Deuteronomy, in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, makes a manifold observation concerning the theological value of this book of Deuteronomy. It so impressed and blessed me that I will share a portion of it, and I hope you'll bear with me in this detailed examination, which will flavor all of our contemplations of this book of the Bible. Quote, the book of Deuteronomy is definitely spiritual and intensely theological. In character, it is an interpretation and an application of the relationship of the Lord to Israel and his revelation in covenant treaty form to his people. The theological values of Deuteronomy can hardly be exaggerated. It stands as the wellspring of biblical historical revelation. It is the prime source for both Old Testament and New Testament theology. Whether the covenant, the holiness of God, or the concept of the people of God is the unifying factor of Old Testament theology, each finds emphasis and remarkable definition in Deuteronomy. When the prophets speak of God, they speak of the God and the message of Deuteronomy and the relationship embodied in its covenant treaty. The warnings of doom in the prophets, especially Jeremiah, are the warnings or curses of Deuteronomy. The promise is a blessing for Israel when she lives in faith, love, and obedience to the Lord, or returns to the Lord after a period of doom, are the blessings of Deuteronomy. The loving, righteous, all-powerful, wonder-working Lord of Deuteronomy is the God of the prophets and of the New Testament as well. The way of life of the people of God forms the basis for all subsequent revelations of the way of life acceptable to Him. These people belong wholly to the Lord. They are His treasured inheritance. He redeemed them from the bondage of Egypt. He is able to fulfill His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by giving them the promised land, their inheritance. The later New Testament teachings on the love of God, the redemption offered through Christ, the saved as the inheritance of God, and the fulfillment of the promises of God to the saved as their inheritance from Him rest on Deuteronomy. God in Deuteronomy is personal, eternal, omnipotent, sovereign, purposeful, loving, holy, and righteous. The knowledge of His purpose and will, of His person and will, is communicated by propositional, directive, exhortative, informative, and predictive revelation. No other God exists, though cognizance is taken of the gods believed in by other nations. The most important element of subjective theology in Deuteronomy is that of the absolutely unqualified total commitment of the people to the Lord. Nothing less is acceptable. No dissimulation, no assimilation, no syncretism with other gods or religions or religious practices are to be tolerated. The people belong to the Lord alone. He is the absolute, though benevolent, sovereign whose people uniquely and completely belong to Him. Deuteronomy clearly indicates the Judeo-Christian idea of law and the basis for it. Here is no man-made agreement based on interpersonal, intertribal, or even international experience. Rather, the decrees of God produce the notion of law. These decrees stem from the nature of God Himself and from His disposition toward mankind. End quote. As should be evident, this is a mighty book which details how God has set into place His purpose and His intent of interaction with mankind whom He created. It began in the Old Testament with the nation that God specifically chose to Himself, and then it overflows into the perfection of what is now in place by the gift of His only begotten Son. Every aspect and every detail is set into place in the precision of the blessing of God upon His creation. That is why we need to return to the blessing of God as pronounced upon Abraham. It is there, that even we as Gentiles are now blessed by the most holy and awesome Lord God Almighty, as He has chosen to include us in His blessing in Jesus Christ. We turn back to Genesis 22:15-18, where the blessing is once more pronounced upon Abraham and his obedience with regard to Isaac. Genesis 22:15-18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Notice that this blessing was fully in line with the obedience and the trust that Abraham had with God, his friend. The Lord had earlier promised a great nation from him, and Abraham had tried to make it so through human effort and human means. However, the Lord had something far greater in mind in his blessing of Abraham. It was the foretelling of the nation of God that would be in place through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to His Heavenly Father. This only begotten Son would be sacrificed for the sake of the salvation of everyone who would believe in Him. Because of that obedience, even to death on the cross, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him as the Lord of all creation. It is under his sovereignty that all humanity is subject to and will be bringing glory to God. In Christ, there is a established a living affiliation that far transcends Creator with His creation. We are brought by faith and belief in Jesus Christ into the very familial relationship with our Heavenly Father as His beloved sons and daughters. This blessing is traced through Isaac, the son of Abraham, as we read in Genesis 26:3-5. Here God told Isaac that because of the obedience of his father, he too would be blessed beyond all measure. This was the promised land which would eventually belong to the children of Israel, Isaac's son. Genesis 26:3-5. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. In Exodus 3:13-15, God made provision for the release of his people whom he had chosen unto himself from their slavery in Egypt. They did not deserve to be saved. They were not special in some sense of being more morally upright or rich or famous. Nor were they masterful artists of works of grandeur. They were the miserable slaves of Egypt, working laboriously under the strict and heavy and awful hand of Pharaoh. They were nobodies, and they were of no earthly standing. They were complainers and grumblers and faithless and rebellious and ungrateful. Yet God, in His infinite wisdom, according to His omniscient foreknowledge, had chosen them as His own in the blessing of Abraham. These were His descendants, the means by which the salvation of mankind would be coming into the world through the Messiah, the sent one of God. First, however, these slaves needed to be molded into a nation that could march into the promised land under the banner of God. They needed to be established as a people who honored and obeyed and relied upon the Lord God Jehovah as their everything. For that to happen, they needed a leader who would speak the very words of the Lord God Almighty and would guide them into the fulfillment of the land of promise. Exodus 3:13-15. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" Here again was the sovereignty of the Lord in action as He chose not only a people unto Himself, but God chose the specific leader to go before this obstinate and stubborn people in order to encourage and to mold them into a nation that would obey and that would seek to honor the Lord God Almighty. In sending Moses with the instructions as for whom Moses was speaking to the sons of Israel, the Lord cemented the fact that they were on the cusp of receiving the blessing that was so long ago promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. God was declaring through this prophet that the time was at hand in which these slaves were no longer to be under bondage, but were to receive the promised blessing of the one who could only honor His word to them. The Lord, through Moses and Aaron, would again make known to the people that they were receiving the blessing of the Lord God Almighty. This we have recorded for us in the Aaronic blessing of Numbers 6:23-27. Numbers 6:23-27. "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. This was the blessing that God wanted His people to know and to understand as they so honored and obeyed Him. They would know that they were a blessed people, kept by the Lord God Jehovah. Not only that, but He is Jehovah Jireh, their provider. He would make His face to shine upon them and deal with them in His endless grace and mercy. He would give them peace in the midst of all the chaos and the upheaval of this realm. His name, His memorial name to all generations, would be upon them as they would be His people and He would be their God. This blessing finds its culmination in the relationship that is set into place in Jesus. It is the blessing that we all receive in His name. He manifests the fullness and the essence of all that God has ever pronounced upon His people in this blessing of Aaron upon the children of Israel. We can freely take it as our own and thank the Lord for the fact that He is faithful and just to so honor His word in our day-to-day lives on this earth and for all of eternity. Our concluding passage of this morning is that of the psalmist, as so declared in Psalms 115, 13 through 18. Psalms 115, 13 through 18. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. All blessing comes forth from God for the sake of making mankind know that there is a God in heaven who rules and overrules according to His divine and infinite knowledge and power. No one can truly argue against Him and live. The earth is the domain of men, but only to the point that God so gives the increase and the provision of His grace and His mercy. We see this in the life that proceeds forth in the plant and the animal kingdoms, as well as the relationship of all the natural elements which work in specific and dynamic accordance to His divine omnipotence. We are blessed because we know Him and we honor Him. And we desire to bring unto Him the ever more perfect praise and adoration and glory and honor that He alone is due. As we are so blessed of Him, so we desire to offer back unto Him all that would bless His heart in this familial relationship that He has put into place in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our everything. Lord willing, we will return to this consideration of Deuteronomy with all its blessings in place for us, the people of the Lord, next week. So be it. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you a thousandfold more than you are, and bless you just as He has promised you. Amen. Thank you.